It's time for Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Yeah, when you hear that sound on Thursday night, you know it's time for Scott McAllister and the Southeast Dirt Weekly. Welcome back after a long delay.
Man, it has been a long, long time, you know, with the weather and the holidays, and somebody has, you know, about 250 people fooled into thinking there's some good racing over the beach, and so that kind of took the starch out of some racing here around the Southeast. But it is good to be back here on Southeast Dirt Weekly, and man, what a show we got lined up. It is so cool here because, you know, you can just have your choice of whoever you want to have on, but the last race I went to there at East Bay last week, incredible show, and because it was so incredible, I decided to have him on the show. This week, of course, we'll be having the world famous, and I mean world famous, Bobby Alexander Sr. back on the show with us after picking up his first win at East Bay this year. Started dead last, tail of the field. He came back to pick up his first victory in the 2008 racing season. And so we'll look forward to having him on. But you're right, Jack, man. It is good to be back. Just the weather's killing us up here in Ocala. We've been rained out almost every single solitary week, trying to squeeze one in tomorrow night. Full show over there. Of course, we have late models and streets and gladiators, and everybody going to be over there as well. And hopefully we'll get to run one down at East Bay, too. So if you're out and about and the weather cooperates, we may be able to get in some good racing this weekend and back to the way it was.
Yeah, and Scotty, it is a big month. Over later on in the month over at Volusia, they have the Scott Thompson Memorial, and that's going to be a big dirt late model race for dirt fans as well.
It was big when it was at East Bay, and it'll be big over there. I tell you what, that is great cause. First of all, it's a great cause, and man, they pour out to come to this race, the fans and teams as well, the drivers and the race teams themselves. They come out to this event because they want to win it. They want to win it no matter where it is. So, yeah, make sure if you're out and about and you're over that way, check out my good old buddy Joe over there and doing a good job over there, Volusia.
And from what I understand, later on in the show, you're going back out to Arkansas, and you've already been to England.
You know, I just hung up the phone, and once again, one of Bobby Alexander's old running mates just hung up the phone with him. Unfortunately, it's very late over there. Yeah, I was over there with England and talking to, actually picked up the phone, Bobby Allison. And, you know, so he said, I'm dead asleep, you know, what do you want? And And after he told me where he was, I thought, man, maybe it's best we have it back another
Yo, matey, yeah. It's the wrong time of day.
I started to ask him, you know, how is that, what do they call that pie that they have over there? That minced meat pie? Sounds awful. I don't know.
The British are big on pies.
Yeah. Are you vacationing over there, or are you there for a reason? But I can tell you it's pretty asleep. But
yeah, that's wild. And then you're going out to... We're going to talk to Christy Hudson from the AMP Dirt Late Model Series.
Christy Hudson, yeah, I can't wait to get her back on the phone. This has got to be, I don't know, and maybe not. Maybe there is another owner/promoter female of a racing series out there, but she's the only one that I've ever heard of, much less actually got the chance to talk to. So always kind of cool to have Christy on the phone and get maybe a little bit different perspective of, you know, how racing is going on and just what's going on out there in the AMP series, because she's really trying her hardest to get things hooked up, and it appears that things are turning their way, and that series turning out to be something really, really good. She deserves it. She works hard out there. So, yeah, we'll look forward to having Christy on as well.
All right. You want to take a quick break now, and then we'll come back and get things fired up?
Yeah, man, let's do it. Let's take a quick break, get these behind us, and then we'll get back on the phone. We'll talk to some friends of Bobby, and we'll get a chance to speak to Bobby Alexander Sr. coming up next right here on Southeast Dirt Weekly.
We'll be right back. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series
offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
On the phone now, longtime tire guy over at East Bay Raceway Park, Gene Sauter. Gene, thanks for coming on Southeast Dirt Weekly and being a part of the show with Bobby Alexander Sr. tonight.
Well, I sure appreciate it because he's one of my best friends, and we've been friends forever. First, is this PG or X-rated?
Well, we have to be a little PG. We can delve into the...
It's X-rated. It's just not triple X-rated.
That's exactly right. No, obviously, you know, Bobby has been a part of East Bay, as you have for a long, long time. Tell me, first of all, we just get right to it. What's the funniest thing that you ever remember and Bobby Alexander being a part of?
Well, one thing, forever, I carry a rag in my hip pocket. Well, it's been on fire more times than the first got killed, thanks to Bobby Alexander. Then,
Bobby's a pyro. I just found that out. Bobby likes to light stuff on fire.
Yeah, well, he's had me on fire more times than one.
Hey, gum it.
And then another thing, back at Golden Gate, we wound up with a bullfrog in my Pepsi Cola. In a big glass with ice and a Pepsi, a bullfrog, and I drank two glasses of Pepsi with a bullfrog in my glass, thanks to Alexander and Harry Krause.
And him just sitting right there looking at every bit of it.
Well, they told me it didn't drink too much because it dove to the bottom every time I took a swaller. So that was nice to have to go through.
We gotta write all this stuff down, Jack, because I'm telling you, man, we get back out there, I'm gonna have to remember to look in my glass every time I look.
I'm telling you.
You better do that. And another thing, between him and some friends of mine that came down in the wintertime and raced there when I was working at IVs, well, I used to have a mustache. Well, they all held me down. The Yankees and Alex held me down and shaved half of it off.
Dad gum, violet, man.
Well,
no, I tell you what. What do you think? And real quick, Gene, we'll wrap up after this. I just want to ask you. He's been out there. He's been racing all these years. He's done just about everything there is to do in dirt car racing. But last week he comes out there, starts dead last, and wins the race. When you see something like that, after all the races you've been to, all the tracks you've been to, what thoughts run through your mind when you see Bobby back in the winner's circle?
Well, it was a great thing, but the story behind that, I've been threatening for the last 6 months. I mean, if he can't win a race, we're going to have to replace him. So he did get the job done, so he still got a job. So, you know.
Well, we need to keep him in a ride. I tell you what, he's a fantastic guy. And we're going to have a show about you guys, too, down to the tire place real soon here on Southeast Dirt Weekly, because As far as the fans go, you guys are kind of hidden back there. But obviously, you're racer's best friend, and obviously, it's cool to have Bobby Alexander Sr. as one of your best friends as well.
Yeah, I appreciate him. We've been friends for so many years. I mean, I couldn't even tell you, but he's one of my best friends. If I needed anything, all I'd have to do is call him. Which many others are the same way, you know. But oh, Bobby, he's one of the best.
Well, there you go. Well, Gene, thanks for coming on the show, and Bobby's going to be listening. So, once again, we look forward to seeing you back out there Saturday night at East Bay Raceway Park. But there you go, Gene Sauter, longtime friend of Bobby Alexander Sr., and longtime tire guy there at East Bay Raceway Park, as well as many places across the state of Florida. So, thanks for coming on board, Gene Sauter.
Take it away, Scotty.
All right.
Well, I'll tell you, that was the interview that you did a little bit earlier with Gene Sauter, the long-time tire man over at East Bay Raceway Park.
Gene's a character himself, my friend. I can't wait to have him back on. Yeah, it's cool to go back to the tire shed, man. Those guys hump it back there. They are a sight to see in themselves. They put on a show back there. But, who would have known it, man? Just shaving his mustache, slap off, doing a Burt Reynolds deal on him. That can't have been too good. And then, some of the other things, lighting the doggone rag on fire. Holy smoke, Bobby Alexander just torching people.
Yeah, amazing.
Don't get on Bobby's, and that's a friend of his. No, and that honestly, that's what you get at East Bay. And at many dirt tracks across the country, man, that's the kind of crap you get. It's fantastic seeing people out there. And we talked about it earlier about the generations of drivers there at East Bay and once again, at many dirt tracks. I think if we sat here and thought about it, we could probably come up with three generations of drivers there at East Bay.
Yeah.
The question for some people are, how many generations can you go back at your local track of how many people race there? But, at East Bay, it's that way. Scotty,
we've been talking about that a lot lately. You know, when you look around the state of Florida, just down here in the Sunshine State, I don't believe that there is a track. If you go back, say, 10 years, just 10 years, and look at the drivers that are racing at a certain track today and look at who was driving at the track 10 years ago, I don't think there's a track that can compare to East Bay Raceway Park.
I agree. First of all, I don't see how you can retain drivers that long. I really, really don't. I mean, I know when I was doing the asphalt side, dude, retention was about 3 months. They ran out of money in a hurry, and then you didn't hear from them for a long time.
5 years.
Yeah.
That's the study. Remember, we did a study about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was about a five-year average.
But here at East Bay, I mean, it's not tens of years. It's generations of people racing there. And once again, Todd always finds out, one of the owners at it, he always has a cool program there. He does it himself. He comes up with some really old photos, and our track chaplain there, Nat Peters, as a matter of fact, man, they still drag those. I shouldn't say drag them out because they get out there. It's supposed to be like an exhibition type thing until they start going at it. Those old antique cars, Nat drags his out there. So, I ain't saying Nat is old or nothing, but that car he drives, it's a pretty old one. And they get out there, dude, no windshield, no roll cage. Yeah. They're scooting around that track just like everybody else. So, the amount of family that is involved there at that track, and then that's the other thing I'll let everybody know when you go to East Bay, watch out what you say about family because, they're all related somehow. It kind of worries me down there at that county. They're all related. But yeah. They really are all related somehow, man. And, maybe that's why they have those.
Well, Scotty, I guess we were waiting for Bobby to show up. He's been tied up in traffic, but... You spoke with Will Cagle earlier today. You want us to play that little clip from Will?
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll listen to what Will had to say. Maybe that will enlighten us a little bit more when we speak to Bobby. So we'll go ahead with that piece now whenever you're ready.
Okay, hang on just a second here, and we'll pot that one up. And see, there it is.
Tell me your thoughts about Bobby and his he's still able to get her done.
Yeah, well, in other words, I'm not sure exactly. Bobby's not quite as old as I am, but I'm 70, and I just ran Lowe's the other night. I've ran Lowe's 5 times, and the second week we finished second.
But I do want to ask you one funny story about Bobby Alexander, something perhaps you'll always remember.
Well, I'll tell you, the story I'd tell you, I don't think I can really tell you. The only thing
we'll edit out the bad part.
Tell you, it was very late at night. And we were setting off firecrackers, and we were trying to build a bigger firecracker and all. And we took some oxygen and acetylene in a rubber balloon. Let me tell you, that got her done.
When was that?
Oh, it was long time ago.
Were y'all at East Bay?
Yeah, we were running at East Bay at that time, and we went around Tampa there. And it was about probably 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were setting off some of these balloons there with oxygen and acetylene in them. And you'd see the lights come on all over the neighborhood, and then we'd just drive on.
So Bobby and Will, little pyro guys over here, y'all are just setting off bombs left and right over there at East Bay. That had to be something. I tell you what, you only hear that from people like you guys over at East Bay. Well, he's listening right now, so Will, if you got a chance and an opportunity to say something to Bobby, let her go.
Okay, well, it's good being on the show with him. And I got a lot of respect, like I said, racing with him and just as a person. And we've always had a good time together. And he'll remember the night that we set off several of those balloons there.
We should ask you about that one.
Carnage.
All right, Scotty, we're back here live. That was the interview that where you talked briefly with Will Cagle earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, it was cool. First of all, it's cool having Will Cagle on the phone and on the show with us. But on the show with us now, straight out of the traffic down there in Steffner, Florida. They get traffic jams down in there. Bobby Alexander, Senior. Bobby, really proud, and we're so glad and proud to have you on the show here, Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Thank you.
But Bobby, like I said, we spoke earlier that was Will Cagle we were just speaking to, and he was telling us obviously about some of these times and occasions in your relationship that you had with him. He also spoke about some times over at East Bay. What's the deal with you? You're like a little pyromania man going on over there with lighting some rags on fire, and then what is this with the balloons that y'all were doing that night? Let's hear it.
Long years ago, the IMCA guys used to come in town, and Will and I blew up some balloons and put a little oxygen and acetylene in there. I hate to even say that now because they might put me in jail. But
I think you just gone by against that, but. My word, so these weren't firecrackers.
No, that's all they were. They were real small.
Firecrackers, but you used an acetylene torch?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah. So, man, if you didn't have the crowd up on their feet for the racing, they were up on their feet. But he told me that was about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, see, Will, it was, and it woke a few people up, needless to say. But, see, Will used to have New York license plates. He didn't tell you that.
No, he didn't see that. See, he left all that part out.
Well, he'd tell me we'd be going down the interstate back then or down a road somewhere. You know, I said, Will, he's cutting people off and going here and there. And he said, oh, hell, he says, I have New York license plate on. He said, don't worry about it.
And they're used to it there. So that, yeah. But that's got to be why. First of all, I want to talk a little bit about Will Cagle and what it was like traveling with somebody that literally won. If it wasn't, I mean, sometimes it was three or four or five nights in a row he would win, racing all those times. What was it like racing with somebody like that who won almost every other night that they raced?
Well, I got the opportunity back in 75, in the middle 70s, I would say, to go up there. And Buzzy and Wayne Rudiman got me hooked up with a guy. And I ran a few of the shows on the dirt to see if I really wanted to do this. These guys were doing it for a living. And we had the opportunity to stay with Will up in upstate New York. Will is a very unique individual.
Yeah.
And
that's one way to explain it.
Well, his mother was my school teacher.
That's what he said.
And Will taught me a lot. He taught me a lot about dirt racing, helped me out a lot. And we were up to one instance. I think it was Fonda, I'm not sure. No, not Fonda, it was Rolling Wheels. Will won the race, and the guy that I drove for down here in Tampa, Harry Krause, he was with us. We were on vacation up there and watching the race, and Buzzy led it till about two to go, and Will won the damn thing. And the people were throwing stuff over the fence. I mean, nasty. And all of a sudden, Will says they put this trophy about, I don't know, 4 or 5 foot high on the right rear. Will told me, he says, watch this, Alex. He said, they're really going to get mad now. And he got in the car after all the pictures were taken, and he blew the wheels off this thing and threw this trophy about 20 feet in the air. All down in front straightaway.
He just told that story, too. Yeah. I'm not sure if Jack had that, but he just told that story. We might have, I'm not sure if we let that part go on yet, because we edited some of it out. We talked for a long time.
No, he did that. That was one incident. He turned the lights off. We forgot it was the 4th of July.
That is.
And Harry and I, you know, the guy I drove for, he said, we got to get out of here. He said, this ain't going to be good. He said, people are coming over the fence. Well, that was just one instance, but I had a lot of good time with Will. Had a lot of good times with Buzzy and Wayne. These guys helped me along my way in my dirt career. I ran, you know, pavement way before that.
Right.
I think we all did. I mean, that part of it. But, you know, Will was just one of them guys that if he liked you, he liked you. If he didn't, he wouldn't talk to you. It was the bottom line.
Right.
And, Buzzy has always been helpful, still to this day. This guy is one heck of an individual.
But yeah, Buzzy's my hero. I tell everybody in the world, you know, I love my dad, but if I could fix it, I'd choose Buzzy. He's like the greatest guy in the world. And you are, you know, different personalities. You're right, Will Cagle, very close, you know, he was close to the chest about what Buzzy, he'll tell anybody anything.
Well, back then,
he'll help out anybody.
Back then, they were racing for a living, and, you know, it used to be, Will had a statement one night. He said, hey, Rebel, get out of the damn infield. Quit hitting me from the bricks, you know, the rocks mm-hmm. throwing off there. And he was talking about Buzz. Well, these guys were rivals back then, and they kept me safe, and they kept me abreast of stuff that I was doing up there to be on something that totally different than I knew from the beginning. And to this day, if I got an issue with a chassis that I really don't know about as far as the, you know, the front-end settings or something.
Sure. The geometry I set up.
Exactly. I'll stop by Buzz's place and run it by him, and he sits down and explains it to you, really what he thinks is happening.
He still uses a big old sheet of paper.
That's it.
He has a big old sheet of paper up there, and that's how he draws. He still draws it all out.
That's it.
You know, they don't use those. He doesn't believe in those computer things. He'll take a big old piece of paper, and he'll go to town. But, you know, and that's what, and once again, I want to get back to Bobby Alexander, but I got to think, being a part, to me, that you were a part of the greatest part of racing that, to me, that there was, being involved with Will Cagle and Buzzy Rudiman during a period of time where they were killing them. Night after night, a good rivalry. These guys went at it. And then you look out there, and Buzzy's still out there doing it, and Will is too. He's going to go be up in Charlotte. He's going back. So
he wants to get the Duck Bay one night. I'm going to put him in one of my backup cars one night. Will can still do it. It would never surprise me at all about this guy.
It's like a fountain of youth there in East Bay is really, I guess, what I've determined. I don't understand, Bobby, how I've been to so many tracks across this country, as you have too. I don't understand, first of all, Jack and I were just talking about it, the retention of drivers there at that one specific track, and maybe it's that way across the country, and I just don't know it. I'm sure that's what it is. But it seems like East Bay, you guys, you've won all over the place. You've done it all. You stay at East Bay. Winning at East Bay means a lot to drivers there, and somehow you're able to retain generations of drivers.
Well, it's fun there, and I tell my wife all the time, I can sleep in my own bed at night now, and it's close to get there.
Yeah.
You know, before I used to think a racetrack couldn't open without me being there. And I didn't care where it was at. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be, you know, in that facility and doing what they were doing. And it didn't make any difference. The pavement, dirt, I didn't care.
Right.
But when we lost Golden Gate Speedway, for myself, East Bay started and it was around 1977, and I switched over. I would go back and forth. I'd run until the end with Frank Derry at Golden Gate, and then I would go to East Bay on Saturday night and take the windshield out of the car and use the same car to run dirt with.
Incredible.
And we'd win races. I mean, and again, Will and these guys were very instrumental in helping me make that transition. And it was awesome. I mean, awesome. And it's, to this day, I love to go down there. I love to challenge the surface. You never know what you're going to get when you get there as far as the racing surface. You only have two tire choices as far as your compounds are concerned. And there you go.
And it's really, like I said, what an equalizer. And once again, I'm sure at tracks that are located on the coast, they have this issue. But coming from the asphalt side, when I said, hey, you're kidding, right, when you pull out the tide charts. And they actually pulled them out. I mean, you really don't know what you get. Do you actually look at the tide charts when you go there?
No.
So you just go, and that's what you got. It's just what everybody else.
It used to be a fish farm, and it gets wet if it rains. And it's low. It's very low out where where it's at. And that part of it, if the tide's high, yes, the water table is up.
And the fog will roll in on you in a heartbeat, too. That's one thing I noticed one time, too. I was like, God, dog, I thought somebody just set up some fireworks, but the fog rolled in. So, that place is unlike any other places. But, you know, going back, and first of all, let's do talk about the win that you had this past week. Obviously, if you hadn't visited Victory Lane there in a bit, I don't know. I hadn't seen it this year that I remember. But, man, you're definitely a fan favorite. They'd love to see you in Winner's Circle. Obviously a big win for you.
It was for me personally. I didn't win last year. My dad was awful sick last year, and I didn't race very much last year. And I had to travel back and forth to Pennsylvania. And
that'll wear on you.
Well, it did. And my sponsor, Buddy Griffin, he's a super guy. Him and his wife, Rita, they understood. And I felt like I just wasn't doing the right thing for them. And to win the last time we ran out there, to in the way that I did it, we started in the back. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for the car in the beginning. And all of a sudden the car started coming around. I said, wow. I said, maybe we can do something here. You know, myself, and we started coming along there. The tire compound I had on and everything, the setup I had on the car, it worked perfect. And, you know, I was able to pull it off. And hopefully the fans enjoyed it.
They enjoyed it. Well, they're up in the air. But, you know, that's, once again, that's typical East Bay. And that's the other cool thing about East Bay is, and don't get me wrong, I was telling somebody, hey, I'm the asphalt side. A lot of it is the youngsters, you know. I used to say, where's David Rogers? Come on, guys, you pull for day here. Come on, baby. But, you know, over there, it does seem better. East Bay, I mean, the senior citizens are coming back between Buzzy Rudiman and yourself and some of the other guys that are, I mean, we got some old schoolers out there, and you guys are just knocking them down one after the other. It's like I said, I don't think I can see this at any other racetrack in the country, what we're seeing at East Bay this year.
Well, that's true. Keith wasn't there, unfortunately. I wish he'd have been there. I like to win when he's there. He and I are big rivals also. And, you know, the Nazareth family is been around a while, as well as myself.
Synonymous.
We grew up together in the dirt part of it. Keith never run much pavement, but one heck of a race car driver. And makes it a good show for the fans. To some of the races that we've had together, you know. Then it goes back on the flip side of that. You get back into the deals with Scarborough, myself on pavement, Dick Anderson, myself on pavement. Dave Scarborough, I see him probably two, three times a week.
He's telling you, come back on the pavement side. Come back over here and run.
He comes down and watches us once in a while, but he won't let you know when he's there, and he'll slip in and slip out, that kind of thing. But, you know, East Bay has, I don't know how to explain it. It's got some horrendous tradition down there that attracts people. When Sunshine closed up, we got some of the people coming from over there, and they said, wow, we didn't know dirt was like this.
I'll be the first to tell you, Bobby, I stand up and I'll tell you, I used to think I knew a lot about racing until I went to East Bay. And that's when I found out, it's like I tell everybody, I wouldn't take a first-class playing trip and a limo ride to any track other than East Bay Raceway Park, and that's the honest to goodness.
Hey, Bobby, the truth of the matter is that until about 18 months ago, or maybe even less than that, Scott McAllister didn't want to have nothing to do with a dirt track. That's the truth.
It was dirty. I went there and got dirty, man. And now, I'm telling you, I just came back from Daytona, and I don't know how I ever watched 10 laps of that. And no offense to anybody over there. I appreciate what they do. Awesome. It's mind-boggling. If you want to see racing, come to East Bay. If you want to see a show, they put on a great show over there. If you want to watch racing and the best racing possible, and I mean the very best racing possible, come to East Bay. Because too wide ain't nothing. That ain't nothing at East Bay.
On a local level, yes. But if you really want to see a show, there's only one place to go.
You're going to say Eldora.
Eldora.
and that's just what Al and Dean said. Yeah, they'll say, man, but you got to go to Eldora. But I don't know how it could be much better, because I'm telling you, I don't remember standing up on my feet in the announcer's tower screaming like a girl. I mean, you're on your feet in that place, and you can't help but to get involved. The bomber class comes out there. I'm telling you, I used to go, oh, man, the bombers. Now I'm telling you, the bombers, they're five wide. It is unbelievable. Every class of cars that they have there, they have something going on. I just can't imagine any other racetrack.
But you got these guys, when you go to a national event at Eldora, where there's the sprint car operations or the late models, and then Tony Stewart's got this deal going on now with this deal he has, you know, the celebrity deal.
Mm-hmm.
This racetrack is as magnetic as East Bay, and it was designed that way. Jimmy Mingo, the original owner of East Bay, went to Eldora with Earl Balthes, and he designed East Bay kind of the same way, but in a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
Eldora is a half mile.
Okay.
These guys get around this place in a different way. I mean,
yeah, I did not know that. There you go. I didn't know it was a half mile. Damn, that is kind of big. I've never seen a dirt track that big, to be honest with you. Half mile is kind of big.
I bang half mile, and the people, they relate to both places. During the winter time, they come to East Bay. They see East Bay as a small scale Eldora because, number one, the talent and the people that come here and that compete here are awesome.
Awesome is right.
And the shows, if you haven't seen anything in February, you haven't seen racing.
I will have to say that when I, and that was the first, my first experience at East Bay was Winter Nationals. And
I'll tell you right now, you saw some shows there that was unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, it's too hard to explain. It really is unbelievable. I mean, really, if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have believed it. That's how unbelievable it was. And the weirdest part about it was, that was night one. You know, I was like, and you're going to do this all month long? And they did, all month long. But the Lucas Oil Dirt Show, I am here to tell you, when that comes to your area, wherever it is, no matter what track, go see that, because that is, it's like I say, it's some awesome racing. It's the same kind of racing you'll see at East Bay, and these guys do it on the same level. It's cool seeing you guys out there participating in Winter Nationals. As, you know, some of the guys that are made the show.
I used to run it. I don't anymore because of the expense of it. I'm going to be honest with you. The expenses to do that night after night is
unbelievable.
Well, I can run the whole season, you know, with my sponsor. My sponsors the Red Rose Dining Room, and which I've said that before, East Coast Tomato, same people, and Blue Ribbon Tomato. These guys take care of me. They support the racetrack also. Much so in the past. But, again, I enjoy going down there and just, you know, doing a Saturday night show and going home. That's my deal. And
that's cool to me. That is one of the, that's another part of it that I really do enjoy is that there's none of this. I mean, I remember Hoover racing. We would get there before the sun came up waiting at the gate to hurry and run into the track and not race until 8:30 that night.
Exactly.
And you know, and on the other side, I love this. The practice is about 10 laps. Yes, that many. It's that many, and you just go. You know, they're just...
You know, Bobby, another thing that we've talked about is at East Bay Raceway Park, you know, and I started going there when Stan Kolin, during his era, and I spent a lot of time around there talking to Stan, and that's actually when I first met Will Cagle there. But it doesn't seem like it. Whoever owns the track or runs it, it doesn't seem to change anything. The track seems to have a life of its own. Can you speak to that?
It does have a life of its own, and it's because of, I guess, you know, there was a one little time in there, but they had a little problem, but it was strictly because of there was a glitch there. It was, in the beginning, Jimmy Mingo, Lonnie Prevatt, the Prevatt family, and Jimmy Mingo made this place, and then... eventually, Stan Kolin came in. Stan Kolin made it a happening.
Yeah.
Stan was he was kind of like of an entrepreneur guy that he wanted it to work. He didn't care what it cost, whatever happened. And Stan made a lot of things happen around there.
Oh, boy.
Fortunately, a lot of people didn't. You know, when I say that, it wasn't a lot of people. It was just, you know, some of the people around there didn't care for him and the way his attitude was, but he could tell you right up front the way it was happening. If he told me to go home, I went home. And he had some good people that worked for him that still work there. And the guys that own the place now, they come in there. I've known them for many, many years. And if I ask them a question, you hear rumors. I don't listen to rumors. I go.
You'll have to, because they'll tell you right up front what the deal is.
I go straight to the guy. I go to Al Vonador and or Dean, either one, Todd Hutto. I ask him a question because I'm in concern of what it's going to cost me if they change something or if they do something or if they're going to lose something. You know, we have a race car here that, you know, I can sell a race car, but we're on a different engine level. But these guys always, they're straight up as they get. They're straight.
And that consistency is really what I know a lot of racers always talk about, dude. Just keep the rules, just keep them consistent. Just make the consistent calls.
Exactly.
And the other thing is, like you said, they'll both tell you, Todd and Al and Dean, they'll all three tell you, the people they have working there, like you said, the workers have been there for generations. I mean, it's incredible, just like Gene has been there for all those years. People don't see the action that goes on back there in that tire shed. But, I mean, it gets hopping back in that place, and he is on it, man. There is not, I don't think there's anything about tires that he doesn't know.
Gene Slaughter has changed the tires on my race car since I started racing 40 years, and I knew Gene when he could see. In 1956 or 57, somewhere along in there, Gene used to come through our neighborhood and spin out and do donuts and stuff on a dirt road. And then he worked for Ivy's Tire Shop, and he took care of me from that day on. Not only me, but I mean, I'm talking to people like Don Garlis. Someone needs to ask Don Garlis about Gene Slaughter.
You know, well, we're going to have
Don can't hear.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have Gene, we're going to have those guys up in the booth, as a matter of fact. I told him, I said, man, you guys, and they really do go unrecognized down there as far as the fans are concerned. They don't really see what happens down in there because it can be a madhouse down there.
Well, you get on a traveling team, and I told everybody about this. I said, let me tell you something, guys. I said, you don't know what your appreciation needs to be for that man right there. Not only the fact that he has a disability, so people say, but I said, he really don't.
No.
I said, but get out on a traveling team, get out here on the road. I said, you go to a warehouse somewhere and pick your tires up, or you get to the racetrack and get them out of a trailer, and you go mount your own tires. Well, the surface changes. Guess what? You're going to be changing the tire by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no one there to do it for you. And people at East Bay, they do not realize what they have there. And I've said this for year after year. I used to go to Gene back on the pavement days, tell him what was happening to the car. Got this problem, got that problem. We'll fix you up, champ. That's what my nickname was, champ, to him. He said, we'll fix you up. And I run stuff different than people do right now. And he understands it. He understands why. Because of my driving style.
And see, that's the intricacy right there that really throws a wrench into all of it. Versus you have some people out there that are trying stuff, which is not a problem. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. There's a lot of difference in trying and actually doing something and knowing the results that are going to happen prior to.
Exactly. And he knows. I can send my grandson up there. I'll tell Alex Dixon, I said, Alex, go up there and get me a right rear. Gene knows what I want. And he knows the size of that tire. And he'll send it back down here. I don't have to go do it.
And the level that you guys operate to, once again, there's a big difference in the asphalt side and the dirt side, because on the dirt side, you don't bring six or eight people with you to the racetrack.
No.
I mean, you don't do that. I don't see that at the dirt track like I do over the asphalt side. And I know with the asphalt side, it seems like I'm always paying for six or eight people to get in. On the dirt side, it's usually the driver and two people maybe.
I've got two guys with me and my grandson, Alex, is usually the ones that are with me. A guy named Johnny Owens, he used to race sprint cars back at Golden Gate, and he raced, you know, with Scarborough and all that bunch, and Cagle, and he tows the car down there for me. We ride together, and it's kind of a, you know, a quiet kind of thing, and then my wife, she comes in and watches the feature and brings one of the grandkids and goes home, and that's it.
It amazed me. We've got to wrap it up here soon, Bobby. It comes to an end way too soon. I could sit here and listen to these stories because, once again, I truly do believe that you got to travel around with what my dream would be, literally. And I'm not sure if that's a good or bad thing, that's my dream. But, man, what an awesome time you must have had. But you still carry that on. Obviously, I always say this about Buzzy Rudiman, and I say this about you as well. If you want your kids to emulate somebody, these are the type of gentlemen you need to have, you know, your kids look at and study and emulate, because really, just like you won right there in Victor's Circle, it had been a while, you drove up in there, there was no hooping, there was no hollering, there was no donuts, there was no burning out, just, you know, obviously very dignified, honorable, mentioned, you talked about your sponsors. I wish everybody could be exactly like you. Maybe that's not the way to be a race and wouldn't be what it is, but man, if people like you make it really worthwhile.
Well, I thank you for inviting me on your show, and I hope the fans will come back, and I'll continue on trying to do what I can do.
How long are you going to stay out there, Bobby? I got to ask you, man. Really, I mean, and once again, after this win, I hope you stay another 10 years. Has there ever been a time you thought, okay, not coming back next year, or are you planning on coming back for as long as you can keep coming?
Not really. As long as a buddy... my sponsor stays with me. He's been with me since 93. And
pretty solid. I don't think he's anywhere.
He's happy. You know, I'll keep coming back. I enjoy it. I enjoy it for the fans. I honestly do. Hopefully they see a good show. And, you know, my grandkids and family and other people can, you know, benefit from it. I mean, get involved in it and be happy because it keeps you out of trouble.
And you are right about that. It's a great way to come out and have good, safe fun, you know, for the whole family. And the whole family can come along and be a part of it. And that's the whole thing. It's not just about the race car driver. It's about the whole family, the team. And it's like I told Jack, it's different from the asphalt side. Asphalt side seems like everybody's serious. I mean, they're serious in the pit. They're serious in this. It doesn't seem that way on dirt. It seems like everybody's having a good time the whole time that you're out there. It's just an amazing feeling. I'm not sure if maybe I'm just noticing that or it's not really that way, but it sure seems like that way. And it's cool to have you out there. And I'm just glad that I'm at East Bay and I got to be a part of Bobby Alexander Sr. And once again, Bobby, thanks for coming on the show and being a part of Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Thank you. And again, my sons and my family's involved in it. Bobby Jr., Todd, and Bryson, Alex, they all race go-karts and race cars. And, you know, these guys keep it a family deal down there, and that's what I like about it.
Cool.
And
it is,
thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. There you go. Well, Jack, I tell you what, man, that was one of the coolest interviews I've
ever
done. Bobby Alexander Sr. I got goosebumps and talking to somebody like that. I mean, it is. That's bona fide, brother. That's as bona fide as it gets. I know we're coming up to a break. We definitely want to get Christy on the phone, so I'm going to go and have to calm down a little bit, perhaps some water on my face, because, I mean, I am jacked up talking to Bobby Alexander Sr. What a guy. So we'll go to break real quick, and we'll get Chris here bringing and come back with what's going on down at the AMP Series over in Arkansas.
We'll be right back. Southeast Dirt Weekly.
I'm all done.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out, uniteddirtlatemodels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, my name is Roger Rudiman. You're listening to Real Racing USA.
Welcome back to this edition of Southeast Dirt Weekly with Scott McAllister. And programming note, on Friday night we have here on Real Racing USA at 7:30, we have Full Throttle Friday. And, of course, on Monday night, the award-winning Inside Florida Racing. So, Scotty, I think we're hooked up with Christy Hudson from the AMP Dirt Late Model Series.
Christy's on the phone with us, and she's from out down in, over in Arkansas. We're going to check out what's going on over there in Arkansas and Mississippi. Christy, thanks for coming on the show, Southeast Dirt Weekly, and being a part of the show. Tell me about the AMP Series and what's going on over there.
Well, thank you very much for the invite. We've got a whole lot actually going on. We're getting set next weekend to head down to Greenville, Mississippi to run with the Super O'Reilly Series. We're going to be a $2,500 to win, $400 to start race for some of these guys. We got big points chase going on in the AMP Series. And invite pretty much anybody that wants to attend to come out.
Because the cool thing about it is y'all guys are going over to Mississippi to run with these guys. So they're kind of looking, as usual, I know when I used to go with the series, the locals always look forward to the series guys coming in because they wanted to compete against them. And, hey, it was their track. It is their local track. So,
hey, Scotty, don't let her kid you. I think she's soft-shoeing us here. I mean, come on. Christy Hudson is out in Arkansas. She's raising hell and taking names and making a big name for herself and for her series. Don't you come on our show and try to soft sell this. We know how good you're doing out there.
Every track holder tells me, man, holy smoke, man, tell me how hard you work.
Well, I've been really pumping some long hours trying to get this thing off and rolling. We started off last year, and the last year we ran 14 races, and we didn't guarantee a point fund because I didn't know how to set one up, didn't know how any of that stuff worked, didn't even know how to line up a heat race, didn't know how to do passive, I didn't know how to do nothing. So it was a whole new ball game for me. And these guys was in here for me for the, you know, for the main voyage of it. We went through it. I paid out a $10,000 points fund at the end of the year. And they ran for no guarantees. You know,
well, I want to ask you, though, Christy, okay, here's my thing. And please don't take any offense, but it's like I was telling Jack. I know no women promoters or series owners in the country. None. I've never known any. I don't know any other than you. How did you ever decide, hey, I want to do this, and what kind of reception did you get from 40 or 50 drivers that are 99% male-oriented?
What made me want to do it was the late model racing in Arkansas had kind of gotten where there was none here, not on a weekly deal, not even on a monthly deal. I have.
Were you merely a fan at this point in time, or were you working with a driver?
I've just been a fan, and every once in a while I'd take it up on my own to kind of try to help promoters put people in seats. I just got out there on the internet, and I seen if a race was going on somewhere, I would take their information that they had posted, and I'd go to every message board, every website, any place sport-related that would take the information and post it, I would send it to them. And I just done it for... just to help, you know, but a lot of my friends have late models and they didn't get to travel here in this state to run. If they got to run at all, they ran in Arkansas twice a year when the Super O'Reilly Series come in here. And most of the time, their second date of the year was always, you know, it'd either rain out or get canceled at the end of the year. So they didn't get to run much at all. And the ones that did get to run was on the road traveling out of the state of Arkansas.
So they had to haul somewhere if they wanted to race.
Correct. And getting out there in the middle of these guys, you know, knowing as many people as I know at the local track here and grown up here in Arkansas and spent all of my time at I-30 Speedway, my family raced there. We're from my dad had late models, and we had drivers that drove for us. And, you know, it just one thing led to another, and it was a friendship amongst a bunch of people that actually pulled in a force of a lot of other people. And when we got out there and got started, you know, we were having record, and we still do, having record crowds at the track that come into the grandstand attendance. And, you know, we started off averaging, we had one show last year that had 11 cars in it, and the lady at the promoter of the track that we went to, she was so excited because we had just 11 cars. And I kind of felt a little down on myself because I wasn't able to bring more, but it was storming and it had, you know, rained on us Friday night and we started on Saturday and, you know, we only got 11 cars in there and she was just happy and the crowd was just well pleased with the 11 cars because we're on a quarter mile bull ring And with those 11 cars, it still looked like we had 20 cars on the track.
No doubt. And when y'all are slinging that dirt around there, especially I know those drivers now. I got a chance to interview those guys. They know how to get after it.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, we've done really good, because when I first started this, I did get a lot of flack from different caliber top racers that me taking dirt late models into quarter-mile tracks in the state of Arkansas just was not going to work. And, you know, I refused to let, I guess, their doubts of it stop me. And we got it.
And they had, these resolutions about going to the track, and it was too small, or just too much of a bull ring, too much tearing their stuff up, or what was their...
A lot of the guys, actually not the ones that are running with me full time, but a lot of other drivers are like, you can't go on these quarter mile tracks in the state of Arkansas. The tracks are too small. They're not wide enough. So I'm getting my little bitty Toyota Camry myself, and I go out there and I drive around the top of the track and drive around the bottom of the track. Took a tape measure, measured from one side to the other, and I said, we can race this track. And, you know, some of these guys, they were skeptical. We pulled in, that we'd all be standing up on the side of the track, all of us looking at each other saying, is this going to work? You know, and we got out there, and we had one accident last year, which was pretty bad on someone's body, and it was at that track. It was pretty bad on body work. You know, for the car, but as far as main structure-wise, damage to any vehicles, we haven't had that. You know, they race clean, they run a lot of side-by-side, there's a lot of passing, they can pass. They've even, on these small tracks, they've even gone four wide.
And once again, I just go back to this, the entire, when I look at the whole story of this, I find this whole thing amazing, because really, like I said, and I say this with all respect, being a woman in this sport has got to be difficult, especially in the position you're in. That's got to be some skepticism to overcome there, just from the mere tradition of the way racing is.
You know, Scotty, you guys are talking about this. Now, I've talked with Christy many times. We've never actually met, but we've talked many, many times on the phone for extended periods of time. And I was just sitting here thinking, if they made a movie about this, I think it would have to be Barbara Stanwyck would play her. You know, it's like
I don't really, and that's what is amazing to me, because part of me just says, man, in Florida, I think that would really be hard to overcome a female. But then again, hey, if you bring cars, you know, I don't think any promoter or owner would give a what sex or color or anything that you were. If you can bring cars, more power to you. But once again, after hearing all these negative comments, you were merely a fan in the stands that wanted to see good racing and bring good racing, and from that you have come to this. I think that's amazing. That it's remarkable.
Well, thank you very much. And it's been tough. You know, it's gotten tougher this year, because last year, you know, we were out there, we were brand new, and they're willing to take a chance on us. And we have another series that we have the O'Reillys, and then we have the MSRA, which is another local series, and we share drivers amongst each other between us and MSRA and with Super O'Reilly Series. And it's getting a little bit tougher, because now some of them, I think, are a little envious. And it's not that I don't think that they're envious, and I don't mean to say it and have anyone to, you know, try to be rude to anyone. It's just there's things that I'm noticing this year where they're trying to stop me to where they wasn't before.
You know, it sounds like you've overcome a lot of barriers, and I think somebody looked around and said, well, wait a second, you know, if she was able to overcome this, and now all of a sudden they're revisiting this area that you kind of pioneered back to the way, you know, back what fans wanted to see there in Arkansas and Mississippi and across that part of the country. You know, I think it's good for racing as a whole, but once again, I think it says a lot about you. Obviously, best form of flattery is you know, just copying exactly what you're doing. It sounds like perhaps, you know, they waited for you to pave the way, in other words, and now they're trying to pick up where, you know, and go forward with it. But, you know, hopefully drivers will stick with you, and they got to see how much work you're doing out there. I think that's amazing.
They do, and they enjoy it. They really enjoy being on y'all's show. You know, that was, Jack will tell you, I try everything I can to get their names out there and get them known because I want people to know them. If I get people to know them, they're going to be coming and sitting in the seats to watch them. They help sell tickets. They, you know, buy a hot dog, buy a Coke. I've been working with a promoter over at North Alabama Speedway, and, you know, they were getting to the point to where they're having, you know, they thought they were going to have to close. And we tried a few things, and, you know, they went from 108 people in their grandstand to 690 last weekend. So, I mean, things are slowly turning, and I try to help everybody the best I can with everything. It's not only about me. It's really not about me at all. It's about the drivers. It's about everybody else that I can help. I've always, since I was a lot younger, I wanted to be, so to speak, in the promoter seat. But owning a series, this was something I never, ever thought of or dreamt of. It was.
I mean, it's like you said, you'd never even said, hey, come to staging.
Right. No.
I can't believe that, man. It's just, hey, come in the stands, come down and take this over. And you were the one that not only willing to take that leap of faith, but even when people were beating you down, telling you, no, you can't, you forged ahead. I mean, and it really is a heck of a story. Like, yeah, I think you're right, man. Barbara Stammer.
Well, Big Valley. It was really tough. And I think that, you know, I'm pretty good friends with a lot of the promoters that are around here. And I stay pretty good, as in friends. I know them. I know them personally. I've known them for a long, long time. I think I even had them pulled because they didn't know that I didn't even know how to line a heat race. I didn't know what passing points was. And yeah. I didn't know, you know.
I still lost the passing points, but that's.
It's tough. And, you know, we switched over this year to the IMCA points. It's kind of like we use the USCS points or the ASCS point passing point system. But we brought everything back over to the modified system to where they can knock off the two nights and still be, you know, eligible for the points, which has been very, very helpful for these drivers this year. It's coming down to where, you know, the points are, you know, you can see we've got 12 or 13 that's pretty solid in there, and it's getting to where some of the races are having to pick and choose where they're going, so I've given them two nights that they could knock off to where it doesn't make them have to forfeit something off of my series and then forfeit something off of someone else's series where they can possibly gain from both.
Well, it seems like you guys are trying to work together as far as the series goes. I know that there's got to be someone sticking your craw once again. I kind of feel like, wait a second, I did all the hard work here. Why are you the one that has to sacrifice? But once again, I can tell just from talking to you, you're more concerned about the fans and the drivers than getting in a squabble with other series. And when you look at it in that way, it's just like, okay, what's best for the drivers and the fans here? And then you try to go along that way. But still, you just do it. I remember asking those guys, I said, have y'all ever done a radio show before? None of them said yes. They all said, no, I've never done anything like this before. And they told me how hard you work. And, you know, and I was just amazed that, they'd never been on a radio show ever before. And they said, without Christy, you know, we wouldn't have been on here now.
Exactly.
So what's the summertime? What do you got coming up in the summertime? What are some of the big events?
Oh, goodness. Well, we got Mississippi. We're going to Mississippi next weekend to run with the Super Rally Series there. Then we have August the 9th, we have a topless at Monticello Speedway, Monticello, Arkansas, that's going to pay $3,000 to win. Let me see. We open for the World of Outlaws. My computer has kind of messed up, so it's kind of hard for me to keep on things without it being in front of me. October the 11th and 12th will be at North Alabama Speedway on a Saturday night, and then, you know, the World of Outlaws will run on Sunday, so... Those are some of the big things that we've got going on. Another thing that we've got coming is I am in the process of putting together an East Texas series. So, you know, try to help those guys down there in East Texas. They, you know, they've been really hitting on me hard about doing a series through there. So it'll go
over in Orange and Beaumont?
I don't know if we'll get down to Beaumont, but over around Greenville and Paris, Boyd, I guess it's Super Bowl, down through that way. And it's just going to be like an East Texas region. It'll probably, you know, pick up maybe the corner of Arkansas and maybe the bottom of Oklahoma. But it's all about helping them, and helping the promoters. If we can help the promoters, the people in the seats, we get the race.
Okay. That's what it's all about, man. Mm-hmm. If you can bring the people, I can tell you right now, owners and promoters, they don't care. Just bring some cars and put some fans in the stands, and then they love you.
Well, the economy, I think, may play Arkansas is a small state. And right now, with fuel prices being right at $4 a gallon here, and diesel, gosh, I don't even pay for diesel, so I don't even know what diesel is, but I know it's higher than fuel, so that may play a big factor, in racing in general as we go down, because we are starting to see some things happen here.
And that's what I was saying about series, too. I said, I'm not sure if it's good or bad. Sometimes I think, the series, it may make drivers want to stay home,
right,
because they don't have the fuel to go. But once again, and then I'm gonna wrap, I know we got to go, show's winding up, but I also want to speak about, you've done a lot of work with your sponsors. Tell me about some of the sponsors you got with the series, because I know that obviously money is what makes this all happen when it all boils down to it.
Yeah, well, we have Blue Ridge Trailers and Liftgate out of Canton, Texas. They're sponsoring a $62,000 stacker trailer that'll be given away this year at the banquet.
That's a pretty good, from nothing to that, that's pretty doggone good, man. Holy smoke.
Then we have Team GRT and Larry Shaw Racing, Mike McNay doing business at Snap-on Tools, Smiley Racing Products, who's a race of tires, Dirtlight Racing Wheels, Wolf Pumps, Smith Towing and Recovery out of Minden, Louisiana, Will Gold Racing out of Oklahoma, Race on Driving Experience out of West Memphis, Kenny Morton Racing Products, LoveRacing.com, we have Real Racing USA.
See, you don't need a computer. You know every one of those by heart, baby. That's a good deal. First of all, I do want to say congratulations to you, because, first of all, overcoming what you did against obstacles that just the racing industry itself had to contend with, and then just personally, and I know it's been hard work for you, but it seems like you're having a good time, and I know the drivers and obviously the fans are really appreciating it. And so, Chrissy, I tell you, We look forward to seeing you. Oh, tell me who's leading your points race real quick.
Right now, John Catman Mitchell, which used to provide the GRT, he ran the GRT house for last season. He won our points champ. He's our points champ for 2007. He is leading the points again with Alan Tippin out of Minden, Louisiana, just 10 points off of him. And Kyle
Alan,
Beard running
the
third.
And Kyle Beard was the rookie last year, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
They have,
yes.
I tell you, they've really come along this year. We got a new rookie this year, Jeff Wells Jr., which is out of Truman, Arkansas, and he is right up there running with them. He's running fourth in the series point standing and leading the rookie chase this year. He's a tough little competitor, and he's really good. So, Charlie Cole, which is, you got to hear a little bit from Charlie last year. He's running fifth, and they're tight, and he's running, he's not on one of the super spec motors. He's not running an open motor. We put together AMP motors that would help the guys, not per se, not to try to say anything bad about them, but those that couldn't afford the more expensive stuff, we put another motor together, which is one that Charlie's on, and, Charlie's hanging in there tight and doing really, really well. So
that's always cool, I think, when the drivers say, they go to those engines that, just as you said, hey, it makes it more affordable, but the question in their mind is, but does it make as much horsepower? And then you see somebody out there digging and doing really good, you're like, okay, I told you, you can spend that money if you want, but here you go, this guy's doing it. I think it's always cool.
All right.
He's done really, really well. And before we hang up, I'd like to name off a couple other of our sponsors, because I sure would hate to leave them out. We got the Contingency Connection, Race Receivers, and GRT by Catman, and Victory Lane Web Designs. And I cannot give enough props to RaceWraps.com. Jeremy over at RaceWraps.com, he does all of our graphics. He helps me. he's come on board this year to help me do a lot of things. So, you know, I can't appreciate all these guys enough.
Well, I tell you, I can see how people would want to get on board with somebody like you, Chris, because you bring a lot of enthusiasm, and that's what really drives, I think, a lot of the racing. And, man, I think Mississippi and Arkansas, they got to be happy to have you out there because, like I said, you get me jacked up thinking about it. I want to see those guys come down here to East Bay. Y'all make a trip down here to Florida during when it gets cold.
Uh-huh.
So come on down here for Winter Nationals for a bit and bring some of those drivers out here because we'd love to have y'all down. But until then, man, y'all just kill them up there in Arkansas and Mississippi. I know y'all are having a good time. And
yeah.
Yeah, thanks again for coming on the show. We'll have
oh,
you back in a couple
weeks
to check in.
We enjoy it. And thank you so much, Scott, for bringing me on. And Jack, I appreciate you very much.
Thanks.
Yeah,
no problem.
Good evening.
There
right.
you go, Jack. Man, the amps.
So,
that just goes to show you, and as much as I think about East Bay, man, people think that about this, no matter what home track that they're at. You know, and that's the cool thing about dirt racing is that no matter where you're at, your hometown track is your favorite track, whether you're in Arkansas, Alabama, Georgia. So get out there no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, and go check out your local dirt track because, man, these guys, this is what racing is all about. And if you like racing, no matter where you are, go out and see your local dirt track this weekend. Friday night here at Ocala, the place to be, is, of course, going to be a great night of racing as long as the weather cooperates. And if it is like it is tonight, it will be a beautiful night of racing. So make sure you come out there from that long layoff after several weekends off due to Mother Nature. And, of course, July 4th weekend we took off. So be a great night of racing here in Ocala, and then of course Saturday night, place to be, East Bay Raceway Park. Make sure you get there early and often for a great night of racing at the Clay by the Bay. So, Jack, man, what a show! Bobby Alexander Sr. I'll think about this one for a long time. It was cool having him on the show. And
Scotty, I know there's at least four or five business owners out there that have listened to the show tonight that are thinking about, man, I need to get my name on that show. How do people contact you if they want to become a sponsorship or a marketing partner with Southeast Dirt Weekly?
You know, Southeast Dirt Weekly, once again, is easy to contact. Obviously, you can go right there on the website, but it's scott@southeastdirtweekly.com. You can email me there, or you can go over to y'all's website and follow the links over to the Real Racing USA side and email me directly from there. You can email Jack if you like. Believe me, between us, we're easy to get a hold of. Obviously, I'm at Ocala every Friday night and every Saturday night at Tampa, gets into East Bay. And Jack's all over the state of Florida and North Georgia and Alabama and everywhere else. But once again, email, obviously, the easiest way. And if you want to be a part of the show, believe me, we'll find a place where your budget fits in at, whether it be, you know, you want to sponsor the entire show or if you just want to merely sponsor a part of the show. If you want to be involved with it, believe me, we'd love to have a partner come on board and have as much fun as we're having. It's a blast, man, talking to people like Bobby Alexander Sr. And, you know, we've had some great people on. Will Cagle on earlier tonight. I woke up Bobby Allison. He's over in England, so, you know, I'm not sure what that was worth, but that's something right there. And, you know, so we've had some great guests on, Buzzy Rudiman and
Frank Chubb.
Chubb Frank. And Steve
Cagle. Dyslexia.
So, you know, I think it's a great thing for businesses to get involved with. And, you know, whether you got a big budget and you're just looking to do something different, or you got a very small budget and you really want to target your audience, obviously, it gets no more targeted than what we do here at Southeast Dirt Weekly. So if you really want to touch base with race fans and dirt race fans across the Southeast, Southeast Dirt Weekly is a great way to get the word out. And through our direct marketing and then our cross promotions that we can do with the other networks here at Real Racing USA, we can definitely make it affordable and worth your while. A lot of good bang for your buck. So, yeah, best way is just email me at scott@southeastdirtweekly.
Great guest next week on Southeast Dirt Weekly, Thursday night, 7:30.
Man, it'll be, I just can't, I'm just glad we're getting back to racing now. You know, the cool thing about it is who's going to be the guest for next week? Well, that depends on what happens this weekend, brother, because something always exciting happening here in the Southeast. And, hey, and if you're a racetrack owner and you want to get the results of your racetrack on the air, all you got to do is email them to me, and we'll be glad to announce your results in some of the upcoming events. So, don't have a problem doing that either. So once again, thanks for everybody for tuning in this week to Southeast Dirt Weekly. It'll be great being back on. Jack, thanks as usual for the help, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody back here next Thursday.
See ya.
Southeast Dirt Weekly.
the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.